Relationships can be complex, that's for sure. But have you ever asked the question, why does that person act the way they do? The way that we give and receive love can be broken down into one of four attachment styles, or a combo of each. Psychologists have done a lot of work in this area. I've unpacked the research for you to make it easy. Let's talk about the four different attachment styles, why you love and receive love the way you do.
Hey, I'm Lara, an artist, educator, and entrepreneur who's danced through life in Australia, London, and California. Now I'm an Aussie in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Juggling roles as an artist, ex-dancer, current actor, author, professional educator, and qualified life coach, I'm also a wife and mother of two. Join me on this podcast, crafted for creative souls at every level, entrepreneurs, artists, dreamers, and hope-filled humans alike. I'm here to guide you towards a life of love, purpose, adventure, and boundless creativity. As a healthy, wealthy, and wise creative soul, I invite you to hit subscribe for weekly inspiration. Anticipate solo episodes, exclusive interviews with creative luminaries, and insightful discussions with my hottie hubby, Andrew, a specialist performance physical therapist, as we delve into the dynamics of relationships and more. Dive into a 360 degree view of making a creative life you'll love. We got a doozy of a conversation for you today.
Don't we ever.
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Artist Podcast, where we're delving into some serious topics that impact your everyday life. In this episode, we're going to explore a really fundamental aspect of human relationships, attachment styles. We all have one, and you might just find out what yours is, and it might give you some answers.
Ever found yourself struggling with relationship problems?
I think everyone.
Unable to understand why things just don't seem to click? Well, the culprit might be something that started way back in your early years, your attachment style.
Now, in this episode, we're going to discuss our understanding, research, reading, and learning that we've been through about how you bond with others and how it formed with your parents or your primary caregiver when you're a baby. And that really shapes the way you connect with others throughout your life. We're going to shine a spotlight on insecure attachment styles like anxious attachment in your relationships and how that can really sabotage your relationships. Now, disclaimer, we're not experts in this field, as parents and a married couple for almost 20 years, we're just really heavy readers. I love to read. I love to research. I love to understand the psychology of relationships because it's really enhanced our own relationship.
So this is us, our reading, but our putting it into practice, our making sense of this. And look, understanding these attachment styles isn't just about pinpointing the problem. It's about finding solutions.
Yeah, and we always want to look for solutions. So enjoy this conversation. Let's see if you can find out maybe some answers to the way you're relating to your most significant other or even your really close friends. It can affect that too. So what is attachment?
Well, now we've just talked a little bit about attachment styles. Let's dive deeper into how they impact your adult relationships.
Yeah, so we need to think back to our early years, those moments when you were just a tiny baby forming bonds with your parents or your caregiver. It's usually your mum. I've heard psychologists say it's all about your mum, but that's, you know, obviously debatable. Psychologists like John Bowlby and Mary Ainsworth studied these connections and coined the term attachment to describe them. And they teach that if your parent or your caregiver was responsive and supportive, meeting your needs as a baby and comforting you when you were upset, the chances are that you developed a really secure attachment. It's logical, isn't it? It makes sense. But this sets the stage for confidence, trust, and healthy conflict resolution in your adult relationships.
That's amazing. But then what about the opposite? If your caregiver, parent, whatever, wasn't always there for you or didn't quite understand what you needed?
Now, this is where it gets interesting because this could lead to an insecure attachment, making it really tough to navigate emotions and relationships later in life. And I think that in our early years, we get set up for emotional success, even relational success, or we don't. But the good thing is that we can heal, grow, and change if we do the work to. And even though you've grown up since, the attachment patterns you formed as a baby still influence how you interact with others today. I've been on a huge journey with this myself. yourself and come from being quite an insecure attached person with Andrew to a very secure one. So there's hope. But understanding your attachment style can offer valuable insights into why you might struggle with intimacy or find yourself in a constant cycle of relationship turmoil.
Yeah. I mean, I think of a story like when we were early years of being together, when we were dating even, I can see it's my journey as a man growing up and getting more emotionally intelligent, stronger, just more aware and all those things. But I could just tend to shut down emotionally. I could just go a bit vacant.
Oh, yeah.
My friends, if you're listening, would know it as like vacant Andrew or Andrew's off in the heavens, you know.
Yep.
I could shut down and, you know, I'd be asked, you know, how are you? What's going on for you? And I just would be a blank.
Just no idea.
No idea. Yeah. And that is a tendency I knew from growing up. And then as I share a few examples and stories, this is in no way, shape or form blaming anyone or seeing my parents or my upbringing as anything bad. But it's just me walking through my journey, walking out things that in my past when I was young that not might have been perfect, and how I'm trying to make sense of them and how to grow and how to get better. But I could just shut down. It was just,
it was probably
hard and awkward.
Yeah.
And so that journey for me was dealing with some things in myself, but also learning how to then communicate well with that to Lara and get some navigation around it. So it was doing some work.
Yeah, you know? A lot of work. And so as we continue our journey into unraveling the mysteries of attachment, keep in mind how your early experiences shape your present and your everyday connections. So stay tuned to discover strategies for building stronger, healthier relationships rooted in a deeper understanding of attachment dynamics. Now, there are four attachment styles, and there's probably other psychologists that do other things, but this is what I've learned from my reading with the psychologists I mentioned earlier. There's secure attachment, anxious or ambivalent attachment, avoidant dismissive attachment, or disorganized attachment. So let's start with secure attachment style. Helpguide.org says this. If you've got a secure attachment style, you appreciate your own self-worth and you're able to be yourself in an intimate relationship. You're comfortable expressing your feelings, hopes, and needs, and you find satisfaction in being with others. Openly seek support and comfort from your partner, but you don't get overly anxious when the two of you are apart. And also, you're happy for your partner to rely on you for support. You're able to maintain your emotional balance and seek healthy ways to manage conflict in a close relationship. Now, when you're faced with disappointment, setbacks, and misfortune in your relationships, as well as other parts of your life, you're resilient enough to bounce back. And I would love to just reflect in that I didn't start here, but I definitely feel this in my relationship with Andrew now. But it's taken years of work. And like I said, we've been together 20 years, married for coming up, is it 18? Coming up 18 in June. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds perfect, doesn't it? It sounds like from recent views of relationships and psychological health, it sounds great. It sounds like you're a resilient person.
Yeah.
That's awesome on every part. But it's not easy to be there, is it? Have you ever felt the sense of comfort and stability in your closest relationships? I know for me, I do completely. It's through lots of work. But even early in our relationship, I could feel come to you with disappointments or things that I knew would disappoint you, and there was just so much love. But more and more recently, I can just come to you with anything, setbacks, whatever. I feel secure for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely changed. And that feeling's often a sign of secure attachment, and it's like having a reliable anchor in your relationship in the stormy seas of life. And I think we both developed this as it wasn't our foundation. And you can develop more and more security in your relationship too. Or as you can look at the statistics of divorce and relationship breakdown, it can also not change. So you've got to put in the work and have the awareness to know, you know, what your attachment style is. So secure individuals, like we have come to develop, put the work in, are able to express their needs and support without losing their sense of self. And we came together really recently, just this week, in a really big storm. Sometimes other people's insecure attachment or whatever they're going through actually can come into your life and they can project that on you. And you go, whoa, where did that come from? Why did that person respond to us when our intention was love and connection and generosity, and we had somebody come and make it something completely different? And my first thought was, there's a person there that's got a very insecure attachment style where they see things that are loving and kind as threatening. And that's not uncommon, is it? Now, this secure attachment that we've developed, it comes naturally if you had a primary caregiver, your parent relationship that developed into a nurturing security when you were a child. You know, you're just set up better in life. You're set up for success.
Our own experiences with caregivers, parents, mentors, they shape so much of how we are. I remember some very dear friends who were my mentors as a younger man before I started dating Lara. And I was around them a lot.
I'm just remembering, like, you know, earlier you said that you would just look into space and you just had no anchor for, like, what am I feeling? And I have a joke with Andrew now. I'm like, am I in love or do I want pizza? Like, it was that bad. And I remember Dougal and Kelly, who you're just talking about, saying, like, they used to call him Pilch, but Dougal would say to him, hey, just go for a run, because he'd just be staring into space, just frozen, and he'd be like, go for a run and then come back and we'll talk about it. Do you remember that? Actually really, really cool. But caregivers and parents are there for us in both good times and bad to develop that sense of security, but we don't all get set up with that.
And we really aim to do this and have this approach with our kids. And so with them, we just aim to lean into time with them and to just watch when they might be retreating or not talking about certain things.
And responding to them,
listening to that, but not particularly trying to get them to repeat things or dictating to them something, but just to really ask open questions, help them open up. I know with Raphael, it's sport, that'll open him up. And then afterwards, I'll just relaxedly talk about some things that might be going on, deeper things, and it just comes in. So that's important to us to have an environment of that.
Yeah. So next, let's talk about anxious attachment style. And helpguide.org says that this is where you want to be in a relationship and you crave feelings of closeness and intimacy with another person, but you struggle to feel that you can trust or fully rely on the other person in that relationship. Being in an intimate relationship tends to take over your life and you become overly fixated on the other person. You may find it difficult to observe boundaries, viewing space between you as a threat, something that can provoke panic, anger, or fear that your partner no longer wants to be with you suddenly. A lot of your sense of self-worth rests on how you feel you're being treated in the relationship. And you tend to overreact to any perceived threats to the relationship. You feel anxious or jealous, then when you're away from your partner, you may feel guilt, controlling behavior might come out, and other manipulative tactics to keep that person close to you. And you need constant reassurance and lots of attention from your partner. Others may criticize you for being needy, even your partner, or clingy, and you may even struggle to maintain any close relationships in your life. Gotta be honest, I think at the beginning of when I was dating before I got married, I definitely think I felt like this in a lot of my relationships. I know it was directly linked to how I was raised, craving male affection. A lot of females do go through this kind of thing, but now I go, well, that doesn't look like Andrew and I at all, but I have experienced this. So if you find yourself constantly craving reassurance and closeness in your relationships, then you might want to look at doing some work around this.
That's where anxious attachment might come into play. So it's like always feeling like you're walking on eggshells. So reflecting, I would want to get praise for acts of service, clearing and cleaning extra things, doing things for Lara. I wanted a thanks, and I see all of that you're doing. Really underneath that was this like sense of, you're worthy, Andrew, you're worthy. But I would go crazy with that when I felt that I needed to get more of that, when I really just needed to reflect and say, I need some validation. I need to go to her and I need to talk and I need to get something out, you know, but I would just go crazy and mad and clean. I'm like, why am I doing that so much?
And that's like the human condition. What we do is when we're feeling some sort of big emotion or tricky emotion, we instantly want answers, and we tend to look to others for the answer, like it's your fault or you're not doing this, or I need more of this, or we have no idea whatsoever.
Or like, this worked in the past for me, so I'll do it again.
Yes, or like, this is what I had to do growing up, and unconsciously you're doing that. Yeah. But what's really important here is before you start reacting and thinking everybody else is at fault, you need to sit with your feelings and reflect, what is really going on here? What am I really feeling? And take that time to journal or whatever it is. And I've created a beautiful resource called the Creative Purpose Journal, and it has some of this work where you can just sit and journal and reflect about lies you might believe in this current moment and how you can turn them around. So you can see the link to that on the homepage of my website or the show notes. But it's a new resource I've put out that kind of combines life coaching and being a creative and emotional, and maybe a lot of you highly sensitive people, because we are expressive and creative, which is a beautiful part of our life, but can be hard to manage at times.
It's awesome.
So anxious attachment often stems from inconsistent caregiving from our parents or whoever was looking after us. And I have a friend that I know really well. I'm going to call them Alex, but that's not their name for privacy reasons. But I'll just tell you about their story, because it really did remind me hearing it of this anxious attachment style. And it's where you sometimes got exactly what you needed, you know, in those early years of your life, and sometimes you didn't, and it became unpredictable. So you develop like this anxiety, because that unpredictability can create that instability for you. But as a young boy, Alex cherished the moments when his father would come home from work and he would eagerly await his arrival, hoping for a warm embrace or a playful game of catch. However, there were days when his father seemed distant, lost in his own thoughts, barely acknowledged Alex's presence, and some days he was all in and some days he was all out. And this inconsistency in his father's behavior left Alex feeling uncertain, insecure about their relationship. And despite, you know, the father of Alex's occasional displays of affection, Alex couldn't shake the feeling of being emotionally disconnected as he got older. And he found himself struggling to form deep connections with others and always fearing that they would eventually leave him or not like him one day, like him the next, and feel abandoned and alone.
And I remember feeling that way too. It's tough to feel secure in relationships when you're never sure if your needs will be met. I remember growing up with a sense of doing.
Yeah.
Doing lots for validation, and not a lot of like, okay, how to deal with this emotion, how to do this practical thing. And dealing with disappointment and failure was a big question mark for me. And so when I was in a place of overwhelm or that sort of thing, I would just run into doing for people around me to get that. And I wouldn't really deal with the disappointment or the pain or whatever else. And so I've had to do a lot of work around that. But that's a big place for me.
And I've recently come to understand that we all have ways that we numb, and doing for others and constant doing for others is actually a form of numbing.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, they'll go to pornography or to sugar or chocolate or drown themselves in watching like days of television and never really dealing with what they're feeling and sitting in that discomfort and letting that, you know, the tip of the thorn when the emotions are really high kind of prick them. They'll do anything to avoid it. And that is human condition. Like, that's what we do. But busying ourselves for other people, or, you know, that can be a sign that you're just numbing the pain. Let's talk about the next one. It's avoidant, dismissive, and disorganized attachment styles, and uncovering how they impact our connections and ways to overcome them as well. So I'll start with guiding you through with the helpguide.org definition of it.
Yeah.
This is where you're a really independent person, you care for yourself, and you don't really feel like you need others. And the more someone tries to get close to you, or the needier somebody becomes, the more you tend to withdraw. And other things are like, you're uncomfortable with your emotions, and partners often accuse you of being distant and closed off or rigid and intolerant. In return, you accuse them of being too needy, and you're prone to minimize or disregard your partner's feelings, keeping secrets from them. Maybe worst case, engaging in affairs and even ending the relationship in order to regain your sense of freedom. You may prefer fleeting casual relationships to a long-term intimate one, or you seek out partners who are equally independent, ones who'll keep their distance emotionally. Now, while you may think you don't need close relationships or intimacy, the truth is we all do. Humans are hardwired for connection. Yeah. And deep down, even someone with an avoidant, dismissive attachment style wants a close, meaningful relationship. And we see this kind of personality in men a lot portrayed in films where they think, I'm just going to sleep around, I don't need anything. And then they end up going, actually, I do. If only they could overcome their deep-seated fears of intimacy.
Have you ever felt like you prefer keeping your distance in relationships, no matter how much you care about someone? And I know I've explained already, there's a shy away or a man going to a man cave type sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would shy away even when I don't want the response or I don't want the no.
You know? You never pushed me away. Like when we first got together like this, you definitely wanted this. So I don't think you necessarily had this style with me.
Yeah, but some might relate. Like I delved into it more and I would shy away because I didn't want to be a burden to you.
Oh, that's interesting reflection. Yeah. And so this style of attachment is a classic sign of the avoidant, dismissive attachment that we've been talking about. And it's like feeling suffocated by too much emotional intimacy. So how does this affect adult relationships?
If you have an avoidant, dismissive attachment style, you might find it hard to let someone else get too close.
And I actually do group coaching, and I remember somebody sharing, and I thought this is a good example, but I'll change their name to Ryan. Ryan's avoidant, dismissive attachment style. And one evening, my friend attempted to broach a heartfelt conversation about their future together, her future with Ryan. And despite her efforts, Ryan's discomfort became really evident. And with a quick joke, he redirected the conversation, leaving my friend feeling confused and distant. And she struggled to get close to Ryan, and he was very good at being avoidant and dismissive. And I wish I could say it changed, but sadly they're no longer together. But for Ryan, independence was super important to him, and he felt uneasy when his wife tried to become too dependent on him. And often, you know, the primary caregiver, the parents, there's a route right back to this.
Our relationship with our caregivers, parents, and mentors really shapes how we approach intimacy as adults.
Yeah, and that's at early years we're talking about. And definitely growing up with parents or caregivers who weren't emotionally present can make it harder to trust and depend on others in adulthood. Okay, next style, and we're going through to ones that are even more and more hard to attach, but the disorganized, disorientated attachment style. And it's really navigating a lot of fear and confusion. And helpguide.org says that you probably find intimate relationships confusing and unsettling, often swinging between emotional extremes of love and hate for a partner. And you might be insensitive towards your partner, selfish, controlling, and untrusting, which can lead to explosive or even abusive behavior. And you can be just as hard on yourself as you are on others. You may exhibit antisocial or negative behavior patterns, abuse, alcohol or drugs, or prone to aggressive outbursts or violence. And others may despair at your refusal to take responsibility for your actions. And while you crave the security and safety of a meaningful, intimate relationship, you also feel deeply unworthy of love and terrified of getting hurt again. Your childhood may have been shaped by abuse, neglect, or trauma. But what if you feel like you're torn between craving closeness and pushing people away? That really does sound like a disorganized, disorientated style in your relationship or attachment style.
Yeah, it sounds painful. It sounds difficult. It could be super common. You know, you might have an aspect of this and other styles, but it's like constantly battling between the desire for love and the fear of getting hurt.
And a friend of ours vividly recalled a time when she met someone truly special, and despite feeling a really deep connection, she hesitated to fully open up, conflicting emotions swirling within her as she grappled with the desire for closeness and the fear of her past heartbreaks. And there was a whole big string of past heartbreaks, usually ended by her. And this inner turmoil made it challenging for my friend to fully embrace the budding relationship that she had found that had a lot of potential, and ultimately caused uncertainty and mixed messages for everybody that tried to get near her. So how disorganized attachment style affects you in your adult relationships is, well, you might find it hard to trust others or yourself in relationships.
Yeah, it sounds like feeling trapped between wanting closeness and fearing rejection.
Yeah.
It's like flipping reaction, like that's flipping
so
a switch.
True. Yep, so true. It's so sad, but, you know, the way we're raised really does affect, and that's why psychology is the science that it is today. And as we've discussed, our early experiences with our parents, primarily parents, but I say caregivers because I want to make sure everybody's included, and can really shape your relationship patterns later in life. So when our parents, caregivers were inconsistent or abusive, it can leave us feeling unsure and insecure in our adult relationships. Next, we're going to explore effective strategies for overcoming insecure attachment styles and building healthier relationships. Because understanding why we develop insecure attachment styles is crucial for healing and growth.
It sounds like many factors contribute to insecure attachment, from inconsistent caregiving, parenting, to even childhood trauma.
Yeah, that's true. And there's lots of different causes of insecure attachment, such as neglect, abuse, parental inconsistency at an extreme level. But you can get help if this is you or any of the ones we've listed for insecure attachment.
So is recognizing an insecure attachment style the first step towards healing and change?
Yeah, I would say it is, because if you don't see it, you can never change. I actually, earlier in my dating relationships, I didn't always attract the healthiest types back then, because I wasn't the healthiest. And, you know, I remember putting myself through years of counseling and psychology, and that really has helped with the level of emotional intelligence and awareness. And I remember that my psych one day said, Lara, you could be right now in a room of 1,000 men and you would still be attracted to the one that's got that attachment style, because it's what you're craving and what you didn't have. And until you can heal that, you won't necessarily be able to attract somebody that's got a different behavior pattern. And that scared the living daylights out of me. But sometimes fear can lead us to good outcomes. But therapy can be incredibly beneficial, whether it's individual or couples. But often you go into couples and then they want to see you individually. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It gives you great navigation, I think, when mm-hmm. you're just a bit stuck with, how do I explore this? How do I dig this out? But I find some practical things to build a more secure attachment style. So it can just be improving nonverbal communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just be aware that you have this effect when you turn, or you know, disclude someone by turning your body or not facing someone.
Yeah, where are you looking when somebody, mm-hmm. and where were your parents looking? Because the eye contact, if you go back to the episode I did on connection codes, they talk a lot about eye contact in our early years and how important it is. So the nonverbal communication is really huge.
Yeah.
What else?
And then boosting emotional intelligence.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so for me, it's been big to journal, mm-hmm. To get the words on paper about how you're feeling. And things that happen to you, to allow it to happen and to reflect, because I've got a real nature to be in the moment and do it later.
Yeah.
But I never do it. or I just think, oh, I'm too busy or whatever else.
That's funny.
So allowing yourself to feel it, be it joy, be it happiness, be it all those things, and be it pain, be it sorrow, be it, you know, whatever it is.
Sit with those feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like reading on emotional intelligence and, mm-hmm. and things, there'll be some things in the show notes that you can read a bit about.
Yeah.
Or just being open to that, you know, in conversation. Sometimes just like having the conversations, allowing the sense of like, how do you feel about that? And being honest about how you feel about it. And places like that are really important. Developing relationship with people who are securely attached. So pick your people.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing. And it's hard, because you can, you know, be in friendship with someone and then realize, this isn't probably the best thing.
That happened to us
recently.
Might
take my wife to sort of say, honey,
this is not a healthy relationship.
Great? And I'm like, but there's so many things I like, but okay. And all it means is that I'm friends with them. It's fine. But it just...
maybe so time into a more healthy relationship.
Yeah. Just I know what to share.
Yeah.
I think the saying is, don't throw your pills to swine.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Don't give it away.
Yeah.
And cast your net wide. We're good at this because we've moved a little bit. But just keep
casting. Broadening your friendship circle. Yeah.
Reach out to more people. It's sometimes just your core friends. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for heaps and heaps of friendships. because it's time and it's, you know, who I spend time with, etc. So
they have to be valuable and and the right ones in your inner circle.
Yeah,
the rest can be in your outer circle.
Sort of try and reevaluate and see, are the people in your network or that your closer friends, are they, could you say that they're your tribe? Mm. Are they your people who are like focused on the same sort of thing? They want the same things from life and similar values and all that sort of thing? Because that's important, and that is a core nature to us as humans to want people who really understand us and we love life.
And we're still building that in our new city because it takes time. And we've had that in past cities. We've had strong tribes around, like what we'd say is a tribe. But right now we're still developing it. And so we are doing a lot of throwing the net wide. Yeah. But what else do we need to do to make sure that we can move on if we've got a very insecure or dismissive or not an attachment style that's helping or serving us?
I'd say that's just resolving childhood trauma that's holding you back. Mm. And, you know, we aren't sitting here saying we're specialists with this, but we've dealt with some things.
Yeah,
this
we've done the work.
This is what we say is like the work.
Yeah, you know, we've got the life experience, university of life.
And I'd say like sitting in the pain from the past is important. Sounds like very wallowy, but it can just be like, oh, I know this thing holds me back and I don't want to remember it. I don't want to even go there.
Allowing yourself to feel what you need to feel so you can do the work. And
But I've noticed sitting in that, that's where maybe I've got a whole lot of like behavior that is like, I don't want to talk to Lara about this because I want to avoid it.
Yes.
I don't want rejection again.
Yeah.
And that stems back. But if I just sit with past rejection, past pain, I realize it's not actually that bad, you know. And this, I know that's a comment that could be like taken to extremes for people, but that anyway, it's powerful. But then declare that you're worth better than you received.
Yeah.
Declare it over your
life. As you're moving forward.
In your head, like make that change in your head.
That's good.
And forgive the thing that happened to you.
Now, forgiveness is a journey, and I recognize from coaching people that have gone through a lot of trauma, talking like huge addictions or lost people in their family, and because of those sorts of things, that some people really just don't know how to move forward. And that's where I really say, get yourself the support that you need, because you don't have to, and I repeat, do not have to stay stuck. You can move forward. I remember watching Tony Robbins, who is an incredible master coach, talk to a young lady in one of his conferences that had had incredibly huge trauma. And her sharing her story, his connection, her really being heard, and him giving her the hope for her future and a purpose to turn her pain into actually her own story of helping others that have gone through huge trauma was part of that beautiful thing to watch. And there is this thing where when we do the work, our pain can become our purpose, our misery can become, I like the word ministry, that really helps you to help others. So do remember that change is possible, and you deserve healthy, fulfilling relationships. You deserve to build a life of love, purpose, adventure, and boundless creativity.
Our story, and we've gone through a lot of work, but me sort of leaning on Lara, like I mentioned, for praise and worthiness, feeling worthy is not one moment. My breakthrough wasn't one moment and it changed. It's many moments, and it's doing the work on these things. It's me delving in to get better. It's us communicating better. But now the whole area of that place for me is lighter and easier.
True.
I know what it's all about a bit more, you know. It's still a journey ahead, but it's just, it's lighter and it's fun, and it's, I feel,
yeah, it's changed
an answer, you know.
And you know, it's easy to judge other people and go, well, they've had it easy, you don't know my story. Well, I got to tell you that a lot of people don't know my story. It's not the time in my life to fully share some of the aspects of it. But one day I will be able to do that publicly. But right now that's just for my inner circle. But I tell you that what I've had to work through is really, really huge. And I'm really proud of the work that I've put in the right sense, in the humble sense, because it's given me so much joy, a beautiful marriage, and a great future ahead. So by understanding our attachment styles and seeking support, seeking healing, going after the best version of ourselves, we can create the loving relationships that we deserve. And remember, there's a great tool you can get on my website to help you journal and reflect at larabiancapilcher.com.
And this journal is amazing. It's a workbook, but it's so good when you're serious about doing some work. And I would just say, if this is a lot, just doing some self-awareness work and personal growth is so powerful.
You can book coaching with me if you are feeling stuck, and you can do that at the same website. And we would love for you to leave a review of this podcast. It helps us go up in the algorithm. And always remember, friends, that we are with you on the journey. Until next time. Phew, today's masterclass is done. I love reaching back and saying, I've done this, and helping you learn the easy way. If you want more, head to larabiancapilcher.com for show notes, links, freebies, my blog, coaching and courses, and you can also head to my socials, Lara Bianca Pilcher on Instagram and Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Pinterest. Thanks again for listening. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That would mean the world to me. And of course, keep on living the healthy, wealthy, wise artist living towards your dream life. Bye, friends. P.S. Shout out to my hottie hubby, Andrew Pilcher, who does all the editing on this podcast.